the family of God was started in Abraham's time. We'll look at it from Abraham's time. We might even say it goes back to the beginning, to Adam and Eve. But we're going to specifically think about Abraham's time because of the covenant that God spoke to Abraham, presented to him, inspired him. And when we think about how Abraham did not have anything really to stand on except a voice that he heard, and yet he believed, and the scripture said that that was counted for righteousness. It says in a scripture in the Old Testament, and it says it in more than one place, but for the sake of time, we'll just use this one. Speaking about God, God brought Abraham forth abroad. In other words, he took him out away from everyone else. And this is what he said. He said, "Now look toward heaven and tell the stars." I don't believe he's telling him to speak to the stars. I believe he's wanting him to get a vision that you cannot number the stars. We can look up at night, and sometimes if we're in a part of the country that doesn't have the bright lights of the city, the stars are much more visible. We actually miss a great beauty of the stars living in this location. But to see the magnitude of all of the stars of the universe, and we're only looking at a portion of them, it should awaken us to what we're about to talk about. He said, "Tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And then it said, "So shall thy seed be." Well, Abraham believed it. He did not doubt that he was going to have a family in the earth, his own flesh and blood. Whether he saw it in the exact way that you and I see it today, he may not have. Maybe he didn't think he was going to have millions of descendants, but in reality, he has millions of descendants. Does your mind take that in? Does our faith take that in? Well, we have the lineage, and it passed down through Isaac. The same covenant was given to Isaac. And it said that you can look at the stars, and you cannot count them, but your descendants are going to be as many as the stars. And then it came on down to Jacob. Now, Jacob had many more children than either Abraham or Isaac. He had children that actually, when they came out of Egypt, numbered in the millions. If I'm correct in that, when you consider the women and the children, along with the men, it was a very, very astounding number that came from Jacob. And oftentimes when you read in the Old Testament, you'll find that it says that I'm looking to the Father or to the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. There was a beginning in those individuals that God ordained some way. He saw faithfulness in them and he used them, and the lineage came down to Christ himself. It was through this lineage. So those men became, they were called fathers, faithful fathers of those generations. Abraham, I believe, was even called not only the friend of God, but he was called the father of the faithful. So that's just a little foundation. And now I would like for us to just read a few scriptures, especially from Psalms, that speaks about the generation of people. Many generations have taken place since that time and has come down to our generation. So the first one is in the 12th chapter of Psalms and verse 7. And it says, thou shalt keep them. Let's look at verse 6 too. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth and purified seven times. And then it says, thou shalt keep them. Keeping the word of the Lord is important to this generation, to our generation. Even though we have the word of the Lord that we can read and study and have access to, there's been many generations that did not have what you and I have. They had to go on word of mouth. The report that Abraham gave to Isaac, Isaac gave to Jacob, Jacob gave to his sons, and it went on down, being repeated from one generation to another. You know, there is a game that we used to play when we were young, and it was called gossip. You remember that game? And we get in a circle and we have a phrase that we speak to the next person to us. We whisper it in their ear. And then that person is to take that phrase and do it to the next person all the way down the line. And most of the time when it would get to the end of the line, it didn't even have anything to do with what the first person said. They call the game gossip. Many times when we repeat something to this one and that one, and they repeat it and the story gets mixed up, with the word of the Lord, it didn't do that. The word of the Lord was guided by the spirit of holiness and purity. That's why it says here, the words of the Lord are pure words. So it was the Holy Spirit that took the words that were spoken to these holy men and was passed down to another generation. Another generation passed it to another generation. And this verse says, thou shalt keep those words. And it says, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, from all of the words that you and stories, you might say, that you and I repeat to each other even, it can get a little twisted up sometimes. But when it comes to the pure word of God, we have it. Thank the Lord. And the word of the Lord is, I want this kept to every generation forever. And that's how it happened. You and I can read it for ourselves. But they had to pass it from one generation to another. Now go to chapter 22, Psalms. We're going to look at verse 30. And it says, a seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. A seed. A seed is very important. As a matter of fact, this world would not be what it is without seeds. Seeds that are germinated, caught by the wind. We have a tree in our backyard that produces millions of seeds and would produce millions of little trees if we allowed it. Seeds are so important. The seeds of the earth itself feeds the birds. God has it all in his whole system to be balanced. Thank the Lord. But it is the same with man. Man is like a seed. It is sown in the earth. And it goes forth. You and I are so privileged to know the truth. And we know that down through the ages of time, even in my lifetime, two generations ahead of me, three maybe, if there is a break in the seed, in other words, the seed is not germinated or propagated, it doesn't go on, in one generation, the truth can be lost. The word of the Lord can be dropped to the ground. It can fall to the ground. We all want the seed to go on, don't we? We want the truth to go on. We're going to call this seed truth. And so this word says, a seed shall serve him, and it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. Then shall they come, verse 31, and shall declare his righteousness unto the people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Oh, what a blessed privilege it is if you and I have received the seed, if we have believed in the word, if we have determined to not allow the word of the Lord to fall to the ground in our generation. Thank the Lord. Now let's go to 24 and 6. Chapter 24, verse 6, it says, this is the generation of them that seek him. Now, if there is a generation that refuses to seek the Lord, that's when the seed is dropped to the ground. So this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? And then it answers it. The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Thank the Lord for those that seek him. If you will seek the Lord, you will find him. If we will ask, it shall be given. If we search, we will find. The word of the Lord says that you will find me when you search for me with your whole heart. The promise is there to every generation. There have been generations where the word did fall to the ground. And yet maybe there was a seed that was planted. And here would be one that would be raised up in a family maybe be the only one. I have thought of different examples of that. How that maybe a whole generation of a family be lost. But maybe one would be a seeker of the Lord. And would be able to find that seed. And be able to take part in it. And restore and raise up another generation that would follow after the Lord. Thank the Lord. So let's go to another one over in Esther. Esther 9 and 28. And it says that these days shall be remembered and kept throughout every generation. Now this is speaking of something very specifically here. How God delivered the Jews when Mordecai was able to be a link. Had he not been willing, he even spoke to his niece, Esther, wanting her to go into the king and plead for the Jews. And she was a bit afraid at first, but he said, maybe you were raised up for this purpose. And she submitted herself, and so she said, okay, I want everyone to fast, and I will fast, and my maids will fast. And they sought the Lord, and the Lord made a way, worked on the heart of the king. He extended the scepter, he gave the request, and then he saved the Jewish nation at that time. So, it came down to the end of this chapter, and they're wanting that day remembered when they were saved. So it says, these days shall be remembered and kept throughout every generation. Tell it to the next generation. That's what they did. It said, tell it to every family, every province, every city, that these days should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. Thank the Lord. Here's a generation that they were not going to allow it to be forgotten how God delivered them. I believe the Lord wants us to also remember how we are saved. Amen. And how the Lord has called after us and sought us and placed something in our heart that we sought after Him. Thank the Lord. So the next scripture is in the 48th chapter of Psalms. And it's verse 13. And it says, now I want to read above that. Let's start at verse 9. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice, for the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Then listen to this. Walk about Zion. I believe that the Lord is calling even for our generation to get a vision of Zion, of the church of God, of the gospel. Walk about Zion. And go about around about her and tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces that ye may tell it to the generation following. You see, the Lord is not just saying do it for only yourself. Amen. Do it for the next generation. And if you have grandchildren, do it for their generation. If you have great-grandchildren, Lord, help us not to let the seed fall to the ground. Tell it to the next generation. Let's go to chapter 78 now. I'm going to look at verses 4 and 6. And it says in verse 4, "We will not hide them from their children, shewing to the generation to come." What are we going to show? Praises. Did you know that sometimes you can't do very much except praise for the next generation? Oftentimes they think you're preaching at them. They think that you're stuffing it down their throat. But praise is comely. We can praise to the next generation. Show it to the generation to come. The praise of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. That's what we can do.
Testimony.
What?
Testimony.
Testimony. You can have a testimony. Let it be a true testimony. Let it be a sincere testimony. Let it ring true. Thank the Lord. Now down to verse 6, I believe. Let me see, 6. "That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God." You know, we can't force people to live for God. We can't force anyone to be saved. We can only be that ray of light in a dark world. But let us be a ray of light, and it will be for the hope in God. And not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Thank the Lord. I'm going to go over now to 1 Peter and just read a New Testament scripture. It is so important that we not only have Old Testament, but 1 Peter, the second chapter, and I'm going to look at verses 5, 9, and 10. It says, "As ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." You know, to be a lively stone is to be one that is alive in Christ, that is drinking at the fountain, that is eating of the bread of life, that has tasted of Him and found that He was good. Jesus said in more than one place, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, that His mercy endureth forever." Thank the Lord. So He is calling for us to be lively, alive, eating His flesh and drinking His blood and finding strength and help in every time of need. Thank the Lord. Now let's go to verse 9 of that same chapter. And it says what we are in this generation. "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation." You're a peculiar people. It means you're a special people. Those that were these faithful men of God down through the generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were peculiar. They were different. They followed God. They didn't go after the other nations. They taught their children not to follow the other nations. And they were different. And soon they were known by the God that they served. You and I can be known by the God that we serve. They may look at us and think us strange, but I want to tell you, I believe there will be some that will be attracted to it. Thank the Lord. It says, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And verse 10, which in time past were not a people. I want to tell you, some of us were not a people. It doesn't matter if we were born and raised in the church of God and we were handed the truth. If we did not receive it, we did not become his people. We were not of Abraham's seed. We were not one of the millions. You see, it's true what the word of the Lord says. Many are called, but few are chosen. We may get to thinking, oh, there's so few. We may look around the chapel tonight and say, oh, look how few. Don't look at the numbers. We're just a very small place here, a little pin drop on the whole face of the earth. You don't know how many millions are trusting in God. Don't you believe that there's more than just us?
Amen.
Yes. And down through the ages of time, don't you know that there were those that you and I will never hear about? But God knows. There were millions. So when God said to Abraham, your seed is going to be as the stars, it was true. And it comes down to our generation. And we're included in all of those stars. We can't count them. But God can. So it says here, in times past, you were not a people, but you're now the people of God. We don't go around today and say, well, I serve the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We're saying we serve the Father of heaven, the Son, Jesus Christ. Their seed brought it to us, to Christ. And he has brought it to us. Thank the Lord. So we're a people of God now, which had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. Oh, these are rich and precious passages that we hope we can carry home with us tonight and be inspired with, that the people of God are really outnumber the stars. Because God said it. Now I'm thinking of the song. Just want to end with the song that says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I think I can pull it up on my phone here. I want to share some of the verses with you. Yeah, here it is. And I think most of us probably know a lot of the verses. It says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. That is what's going to set us apart as part of the stars that represent his family, his seed. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. You know, sometimes I read many years ago where the scripture said that we were joint heirs with him. And I thought, how can that be? He's so far above us. But it says he came and made himself flesh, and he was God in the flesh. And the scripture indicates he is our brother. He is our savior. He's our redeemer. But he lowered himself. He came down to this earth and he became like you and me. And the scriptures indicate that he is like my brother. So as joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I am a part of the family of God. Then the next part says, you will notice we say brother and sister round here. Do we do that? Let us not lose that. Let us maintain those precious titles of association, of claiming our relationship with one another, because we're bought by the blood. If you're bought by the blood and I'm bought by the blood, that makes us brothers and sisters. So we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears. Is that not so? Doesn't the scripture say, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ? Yes. I remember, and I've probably told this before, my sister had been away from the Lord a long time. She really didn't know the saints. And let me insert here that a lot of the people that have departed from the truth don't really know the Church of God. And they don't really know the saints. They're judging them by hearsay, or they're condemning them without knowing who they are and what they are. But when you know the family of God, I want to tell you something. Michael and Heather has tasted of the goodness of the family of God. Amen. And they'll never be the same. And it was the same with us in our time. The saints were so precious. They proved themselves, their love. So my sister had been away. She really didn't know the saints. And she rode with me in the ambulance to the funeral. And then she rode with me back. Went back to the room and stayed with me. I remember going up the elevator to my room. And she was with me. And she said something to the effect, I have never seen so much love demonstrated. She's forgot it, or she did forget it. So we call each other brothers and sisters around here because we're a family. We're part of a family. And when we have a heartache, we share in those heartaches and tears. And then it says, and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. So that's what it is. The scripture says for us to rejoice with those that rejoice and to weep with those that weep. The song goes on and it says, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing, from rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong. I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. Do you feel like you belong? You know, a lot of people feel very insecure in this world because they don't feel like they have found their place. If you're a child of God, you're a part of the family, and you should feel like you belong. Get a vision tonight that the people of God, the seed of God, is as the stars. And we may be few in number here, but we won't be that few there. It will be in the millions. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.